First things first. First things first. When you look around our world, or even our little corner of the world, it's easy to believe and to see that we live in loud times. There is ruckus after ruckus after ruckus. People screaming and hollering about getting their way or not getting their way, or they don't like this and they don't like that, and there's this constant roar in the world today. Everybody has an opinion. Hello? Everybody has an opinion. I won't carry on with that any further. Just to say that everybody has an opinion. Most everybody has something that they want to post on social media. Most people have something that they want to complain about. Getting quiet. People want to protest. If you don't believe me, go drive down Garden Valley Boulevard in Roseburg. I drove down through there yesterday, and I was shocked. People dressed up in these goofy little costumes with... Well, never mind. I'll just... It's amazing. It's amazing. Protest. But listen, the Scripture calls the church to something much deeper than noise. My message title this morning is so long that it took two lines. First things first, followed by a praying church in a broken world. Church, we need to learn how to pray. So turn with me this morning to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1. First Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1. If you're there, if I could get you to stand to your feet for the reading of God's word, I'm going to read the first seven verses. If you can't stand, don't feel bad about it at all. God understands, and so do we. Verse 1, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for your anointing. Lord, I pray today that this preacher would decrease, that you would increase in me. I thank you, God, that you in fact have appointed me a preacher, Lord, and that you would use me today to communicate your word, to bring life to people that are desperate. Lord, that the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ would begin to shine in people's life, that the darkness would be dispelled. Lord, that despair would be turned into hope. And Lord, that chaos would be turned into peace, Lord, because of you and your Holy Spirit. And so, Father, I thank you for it. I pray for lives changed and transformed by your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Give somebody a high five and sit down. Amen. There you go. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Well, did everybody get through that without getting injured? It sounded pretty brutal. That's you're right. My goodness. So Paul writes to the church about order, or writes, Paul writes about church order, but he doesn't start with the music. Isn't that amazing? He doesn't start with the music. He doesn't even start with the preaching, and he doesn't start with the programs. You know where he starts? He starts with prayer. He starts with prayer. Why is that important? Because prayer is what moves the hand of God. It's what we do first that reveals what matters the most. I'll wait. What we do first reveals what we value most. Paul opens this with, therefore I exhort first of all. I exhort, I lift up. In fact, let me just read the first couple of verses again. Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. If you look at that first verse, you'll find there that Paul stacks up a whole bunch of words there, not for repetition, but really for depth. And the first one that he throws is supplication. You ever thought about what supplication is? Supplication talks about specific needs. Supplication talks about specific needs. And the next one is prayers. Prayers can be referred to as general worship and devotion to Almighty God. So we have supplication, we have prayer, and then we have intercession. What is intercession? Intercession is standing in the gap. Intercession is what you've done for those that maybe aren't even here. We that whole prayer list that I just went over, that we were lifting people up, that's interceding for them. We're standing in the gap for their healing. We're standing in the gap for the peace of God. We're standing in the gap for provision. We're standing in the gap. It's intercession. Intercession, if you talk to an intercessor, you'll find that intercession is sometimes hard work. It's sometimes hard work. Number one, supplication. Number two, prayer. Number three, intercession. Number four is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is important. Thanksgiving is gratitude even before the answer comes. How many of you are thanking God for things that you have not yet seen? Amen. Things that you're still waiting on, things that are still out there, but by faith and by intercession and by your prayers and by your supplications, with thanksgiving, you are grateful for what God, the answer that's on its way. Thank you, God. And by the way, don't miss who we are to pray for. Don't miss who we're to pray for. The Bible says that we are to pray for all men. That means the ones that we don't like. Hello? Even the ones we don't like, even the ones that maybe we don't agree with, he says, pray for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority. See, if the church is ever going to advance, it won't be by reacting. The church will advance by interceding. Because God can do more in a millisecond than you can do in a year of belly aching and griping and complaining and moaning and carrying on and talking to everybody except who you should be talking to. See, it's easy to criticize leaders that you don't agree with, but how much harder is it, and probably even holier is it, for you to pray for them, to lift them up, to build them up, as the Bible says, in the most holy faith. It's not often fun, but it's worth it. Complaining talks about the problem. When you complain, you're just talking about the problem. But church, when you begin to pray, prayer talks to the one that can change the problem. Prayer goes to the throne room of Almighty God, where things can get handled and get taken care of. I don't know about the rest of you, but it's hot in here. Whew. I don't know, maybe it's just me. Whew. If I start unbuttoning this shirt now, I won't, trust me, I won't. I'll melt clear to the ground first. But complaining talks about the problem. How many times, how often do we hear people complain? And typically, who are they complaining to? Your boss? Who do we complain to? Who said your neighbor? Did you say your neighbor? You're probably closer than anybody. Who should we be talking to? The person, not only God, but the person that you're complaining about to somebody else about. Oh man, that's good preaching. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Woo! We want to tell everybody else about my problem with somebody except the person that you need to be talking to. Complaining about the problem. Talking in the Old Testament. You want to know what happened in the Old Testament? When some family members of, I believe it was Moses, started grumbling and complaining. Anybody know what happened? The earth went, swallowed them up. If that starts happening today, there's going to be some changes. I'm just, you know. Complaining talks about the problem, but prayer talks to the one that can change the problem. God is the only one that can change the heart and the attitude of a person. Verse 2 reveals God's desire for the church, and it is peace that makes room for godliness. Listen to what it says, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Too often, we find ourselves finding fault with everybody and pointing our finger at everybody when we've got three fingers that are pointing back at us, but we completely neglect them. Lead a quiet and a peaceable life. Paul's not calling us for silence or even for retreat. He's calling us as the church for stability so that the gospel of Jesus Christ can flourish. Because church, we're to be the light of the world. We're to set the example. This ought to be the happiest place in town today. This ought to be the happiest place in town every day of the week. People ought to be able to come in here and find love and acceptance and joy, not based on how I'm doing, but based on my relationship with God. Maybe you're not even saved this morning. I don't know. I know this. I know you can be before you leave. That I do know. I know that your life can be changed and transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's what God's Word says. Oh, well, you don't know how bad I am. I got news for you. You don't know how bad I've been. You don't know how many times I've messed up. You don't know how many times I've screwed the whole thing up. He's not calling you for silence or to retreat. In fact, speaking of retreat, how many of you realize that the Bible in Ephesians chapter 6, when he talks about the armor of God, there's no armor, there's no piece of that armor for retreat. In fact, if you retreat and you turn and you run from the enemy that way, if the enemy's coming this way and you're exposed completely, as long as you're facing the enemy, as long as you're facing the battle, you have protection. He's calling the church for stability. If Jesus Christ is our cornerstone, and the Bible makes it very plain that He is the cornerstone, He is our firm foundation. If our life is built up on Jesus Christ, we will be stable and the gospel can flourish. Quiet doesn't mean silent or passive. It means undistracted. Hello? It means undistracted. The word peaceable in this verse means free from chaos that drowns out faith. And so the goal in all of this is that when the church prays, peace follows. And when peace follows, godliness grows. Listen to what it says in Psalm 34 and 14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it. Some people think that peace should come with no effort, but David explained that we are to work hard at peace. And if David isn't enough for you, maybe Paul can help us, because Paul in Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, Paul echoed this thought, and he said, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, be at peace, live peaceably with all men. How many men? What about the ones you don't like? Paul counsels believers to have a peaceful relationship as possible with their unbelieving neighbors and associates. Wonder why? So you might lead some of them to Jesus. They might come to Jesus because... How many of you remember when you weren't all that righteous? Would you quit? Do you think the world doesn't remember how bad they are? But when they see your life and you begin to share with them, hey, I was just like you. I was unrighteous too. But God came into my life and did something, changed me. I'm not perfect. I'm not anywhere near perfect. But God ain't done with me. He's still working on me. If it is possible. See, Paul counsels believers to have as peaceful relations as possible with unbelieving neighbors and associates. In a perfect world, all people can live peaceably together. But realistically, this is impossible because we live in an imperfect world. We're dealing with imperfect people. I've heard it said that ministry would really be a great gig if you didn't have to deal with people. Listen, it's for people that Christ died. It's the people that He sent us after. It's the people that God created, you and I, to glorify Him, to worship Him, and to honor Him. Not animals. Us. He gave us a specific... We're different from the animals. Believers are called to be the salt of the earth. And as such, we ought to do our part to live in peace with everybody that we can. And certainly, we certainly are not to be the cause of dissension. How many of you have ever... Don't raise your hand. But how many of us have been the cause of dissension, and instead of being a instrument of reconciliation, we just want to prove the point that I'm right? Anybody ever just wanted to be just, I'm right. I am right. Bless God. Well, you can be right all day long and still be wrong. Boy, this is preaching good this morning, isn't it? Matthew 5 and 9 says this, By the way, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 are part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking, and he says this. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." How many of you want to be called a son of God? It's a gender, it's a non-gender specific term, so don't freak out. You can be a son of God and be a woman. It's really talking about being a child of God. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." All men to be saved. All men. You know, I look at you and I think of, I haven't been in Riddle for, how long has it been since we haven't hauled a log into Riddle? But yesterday, Friday, I hauled a load of logs in there, didn't I? What was the first thing that somebody said when I pulled in the yard? Were you listening? Yeah. Yeah. I pulled into the log yard at Riddle with a load of logs, and one of the staff, it was Andy. And you know what he asked me? He said, "Now, what church is it that you pastor?" Yeah. And I said, "Well, I pastor Harvest Christian Assembly." "Well, what kind of church is that?" I said, "Well, we're kind of one of them all full gospel kind of churches. You know, pew jumpers and, you know, swinging from the chandeliers or whatever, you know." And I said, "Listen, man. I said, we have a blast in our church. I said, we have a good, I said, church ought to be the greatest place to go. I said, you ought to just come and check it out." We got to learn how to be a light wherever we're at. He wants all men to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's his plan. See, prayer is not about bending God's will. It's about aligning our heart with Him. Three things that God's heart really, really beats for, and that is all people, it is for salvation, and it's for truth. And so it's important then for us to remember that if our prayers never include the lost, we've drifted from the heart of God. Because that's what He sent His Son for, was for the lost. He wants to use us as a light, even in the darkest places. And it's important for us to remember that if our prayers never include them, we've drifted. Our anchors come off the ground and we're floating and we're drifting. But a church that is praying the heart of God becomes a highway of grace. A highway of grace. So it comes down to this, in my opinion. What is the foundation of our prayers? What is the foundation of our prayers? Well, I believe it can be the least common denominator, one mediator. One mediator. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." So our confidence in prayer isn't in our words. Our confidence in our prayer is in the man Jesus Christ. And so these verses speak of one God, one mediator, one ransom. Jesus Christ died once for everybody. He didn't just pray for us. Isn't that amazing? He didn't just pray for us. The reality is, He gave Himself for us. He offered Himself a ransom. He was the sacrifice. And some people think that there's many, many ways to God. But every person that in practice, and each person must choose a single way. But that is a lie, church. That's easy believism. I can go this way and get there. I can go that way and get there. I'm a good person, so I'm going to get there. And that's not true. If we stand on one side of a gorge and discuss the possibility of many, many bridges that will help us to get across the abyss, but if we are determined to cross, we got to commit to one bridge. Because man is separated from God by sin, we need a Savior. We need a way across the abyss of sin and back to God. And John chapter 14 and verse 6 lays it out pretty plainly, I believe. Jesus said, "I am the way." He said, "I am the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." He is the bridge, church. He is the bridge. Only one person in the entire universe is our mediator and then can stand between God and us and bring us together again. Jesus, who was both God and man, his sacrifice brought new life to all people. Even before you knew him, he was bringing new life to you. Even before you accepted him, he was bringing new life to you. Even before you chose to come to an altar and commit your life to Jesus Christ, I promise you, he has been with you, he's walked with you, he's saved you, he's protected you, he's done all of these things. Even before you acknowledged him, he said, "While you were still my enemy, Christ died for me." Listen, I'm telling you, he loves you. He is crazy about you. "Oh, Pastor, you don't know what I've done." You're right, I don't. But you want to know something else? God does. And he died for you anyway. Jesus' sacrifice brought new life to all people. So what's the church's mission? What is our mission as a church? Our mission as the church is to declare what God has done. To declare what God has done. What are you talking about? I'm talking about your testimony. I'm talking about what God has done in your life. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7, "For which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle, I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth." If the basis for prayer is the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ on the cross, then prayer is a most important activity in the church. Prayer is nothing super specific, scientific or religious. It's communicating with God. Is telling God what's going on, just talking to God. What if you blew it? Talk to God. Ask him to forgive you. You know why? Because he'll forgive you. You know how I know? Because I've experienced it. It happens. Not to pray is to slight the cross. Not to pray is to really, in essence, say that there is no power or not enough power in the cross. To pray only for ourselves is to deny the worldwide outreach of the cross. He didn't just die for you and I. He died for the whole world. God said, "I'm not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ." That's his will. That's why he sent his son. To ignore lost souls is to ignore the cross. We got to learn how to be a witness and a light wherever we're at. Whether you're in the seat of a log truck, whether you're at a grocery store, whether you're in an office building somewhere, it doesn't make any difference where you're at. We have been called to be the light of the world. All men is the key to this paragraph. All men. Not just the ones we like. Not just the ones that we agree with. All men is the key to this paragraph. We pray for all because Christ died for all. And it's God's will that all would be saved. Now, is everybody going to be saved? No, they're not. But it doesn't change the will of God. And the will of God is that all men would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's God's will. But God has a perfect will, and God has a permissive will. And His permissive will says, listen, if you choose not to accept what my Son did for you at the cross, you have the right to go to a devil's hell. And if there's only two options, heaven or hell, if you choose not to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, by default, you don't have to choose to serve the enemy. If there's only two options, you're either serving one or you're serving the other. It's cut and dry. We have to give ourselves to God to be a part of His worldwide program to reach people before it's too late. Before it's too late, man. I'm telling you what, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to see things are going crazy. You don't have to be a theologian to know that things are... Billy Graham said a long, long time ago, and it's way worse today than it was when he made the statement, that if God doesn't judge the United States of America, He owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. It's true. Paul prays and Paul preaches. Paul fuels proclamation. Intercession leads to invitation. And I believe that a praying church will be a witnessing church. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. See, if God's salvation is for anyone who calls, how can people call on a God to save them if they have not been moved to believe in Him? We serve a God today that is moved by the pain of a world. Jesus looked over Jerusalem and wept. I think He's looking over America and weeping. I believe He's looking over Myrtle Creek, Oregon, and I believe He's weeping. How can they believe if they've never heard? People have said to me over and over and over in my ministry, why don't you teach on the deep things of God on Sunday morning? And my response to that is, oftentimes, because the number of people by sheer numbers, this is the place for the most, for the evangelist. Listen, God's whole thing is salvation. That's why Jesus came. That's, as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing greater than a soul being saved. You can know, you can be as deep a theologian as you want to and miss heaven. We saw it in Phoenix. One of the speakers on the platform in a panel of people knew so much about God, knew so much about God's Word, but from that platform declared that he was not a believer. How can you know that much about God and still reject Him? It blows my mind. Head knowledge or heart knowledge? Does it There can be no call, there can be no belief if people have not heard about God and have been given the offer of salvation. That's why God calls us to give our testimony. In Revelations, what does it say? You're overcomers by what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. We're all called to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm not a preacher. Well, yes, you are. Well, I don't know that much about God's word. Well, you know about you. You know who you are. You know what God's done in your life. By the way, the word heard in this verse means a hearing that understands the significance of the word and realizes that a response is required. You're going to have to make a response. Some of you are going to be baptized today in that water because you've heard the word, you've responded to the word, you know that the word calls us to follow the Lord in the waters of baptism. Your response is, I'll go. It requires a response. And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? There's no call, no belief, no hearing unless those who are sent to share the good news. All believers are sent to announce the good news. Every one of us have a story to tell. And you want to know something else? Every one of us has an audience. Every one of us has an audience. Every one of us has an opportunity to share with somebody what God's done in your life. The process of salvation begins with the one that tells another the good news. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3 says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. Paul's in prison because he was preaching the word. And his drive, his push is still to get the word out. Paul reminds us of this. Pray first. Pray for all. And pray with confidence. Pray first, pray for all, and pray with confidence in Christ Jesus. So this morning, Jesus is at the right hand of God. And the Bible says that he's making intercession for you. That means he's praying for you today. And I want you to remember that he gave his life for you a ransom. And all the chaos in your life, he stands ready to bring peace. He's ready to bring forgiveness. He is ready today to start a new life for you today. A change maybe of direction. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Says, for he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Bow your heads with me this morning, would you? Let this be an intimate time between you and God. I've looked across this sanctuary all morning, and there have been tears. There's been smiles. There have been looks of deep concern. I've seen looks of wonder. I can tell you this morning that Jesus is the answer to every bit of it. Jesus is the answer. Many people put off a decision for Christ, thinking that maybe there will be a better time. Maybe right now is not the best time for me. Listen, now is the time. Now is the accepted time. According to God's word, now is the best time for salvation. Right now. Don't put it off. Don't put off your decision. There's not going to be a better time. You could actually miss your opportunity altogether. There's no time like the present to receive God's forgiveness. Don't let anything hold you back from surrendering your life today to Jesus Christ. The time is now. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. People are praying. God knows your heart. God knows all that you're going through. God knows those moments of feeling alone, those moments of despair. Today He would tell you that He is the answer. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And today He's calling out to you because He said in His word in John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever," you're whosoever today, "that whosoever would believe." The word "believe" is an action word. You got to put something with "believe." It's got to do something inside of you. If you would believe, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but would have everlasting life. If you're here today and you say, "Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus, but today I want to accept the Lord." If that's you and you've never accepted Him, but you recognize that now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's God's word. Joshua said in chapter 24, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve." And this morning, if you just slip your hand up and say, "Pastor, would you pray for me? I need Jesus." Right now, just if that's you, just slip your hand up. I want to pray with you. Anybody at all, say, "Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus." When God saves you, you're saved. You can't add anything to it. You can't make it any better. Your troubles, your trials, your tribulations, you just give them to God. Your failures, give them to God. But it's got to start somewhere, and it starts in your belief. I believe today. Anybody at all, say, "Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus." Maybe you've served the Lord before and you walked away from the Lord and life happened and all this stuff, and today you recognize, "You know what, I need to come back to Jesus." If that's you, I want to pray with you. Anybody at all, say, "Preacher, that's me." Okay, we can do that. That's exactly what we're doing right now. Anybody else, say, "Preacher, that's me." Listen, if you raise your hand, come and see me right here at this altar right now. Come on. If you're here to be baptized, right now would be a good time to go and get changed, and we'll baptize you in just a minute. If you're here to be baptized, go get ready. Amen. Come right here, sweetheart. Come right here. Pardon me? Do you want to get baptized?
There's a recommitment.
Well, listen, we got clothes out there in that. We can hook you up. Somebody want to get in that?
He's not
We'll find something. We're going to get you some stuff here and just pray this prayer with me. Say,
Dear Lord,
this day
I determine
to recommit my life.
I ask you to wash me in your blood.
Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Forgive me of all my sin.
Help me to walk with you
from this day forward
in obedience
and surrender
and submission
to you,
my Lord
and my Savior,
Jesus Christ.
Amen
and amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
Amen.
They're going to get you some
clothes,
and we will
baptize you
in just a minute.
Anybody
else?
Anybody
need prayer?
All right.